right, we wired up. The help of the Lord, hopefully we'll get fired up. It's good to be here with you this morning. Appreciate you having me. You might say, well, I didn't have anything to do with it, but I still appreciate you having me. Amen. Amen. Every time I come down here, I enjoy the fellowship. I enjoy Sunday school. And I was thinking along the lines of what Brother Brent was dealing with in Psalm 139 about how the Lord knows our down sitting and our uprising. He knows our thoughts afar off. And I said to myself, I said, that's a two-edged sword. I'm glad that I have a God that knows me and is interested in me. But the sobering thought is that He knows the inner workings of me. He knows my bent, if you will, towards sin. But yet He loves me anyway. Praise God for that. He enjoyed the singing. I'm glad that it is finished. I just want to say this. This is big point number one. Ain't got a thing to do with the message. But I was thinking about it. I like where it says that Jesus said, it is finished. And that's tetelestai in the Greek. That means that the balance has been paid in full and there's no more necessary payment. But I like it because He said, it is finished. The work of salvation was complete. Notice what He did not say. He did not say, I am finished. Right. Y'all know why, don't you? Because very early in the morning on the third day, He got up, conquered death and the grave for you and me. Amen. We ought to have an altar call right now. That's a pretty good message. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in the word of prayer and we'll try to help you from the word of God this morning. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You this morning. God, we thank You for Your goodness, Your grace, Your mercy, Your long-suffering, and Your patience. Thank You for everything that You have done for us. Lord, we look forward to what You're going to do in this preaching hour. God, I pray, Lord, that the Word of God would have a free course. Lord, we know that it will not return void, but it will accomplish what You sent it forth to do. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that You'd speak to our hearts. God, You know each one that's here. You know what they came carrying. You know what they came needing. I pray, God, that You would do exactly for each one what they need You to do. I pray, God, that You'd help us to surrender, Lord, our hearts. And, Lord, be willing to do what thus saith the Lord. I pray, God, now that You take this preacher, or with all my frailties, my faults, my failures, Lord, would You please speak through me today and help Your people. And we give You all the honor and glory and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I got a question for you before I begin the message. I do this to keep myself humble. How many of y'all remember what I preached last time I was here? That's what I figured. Amen. See, preacher, if you ever get the big head... If you ever get the big head, just ask your people what you preached last service. Amen. Now, I'm teasing y'all, but listen, I keep notes about what I preach. And the last time I was with you, I preached on what He said. Y'all remember that? I spoke in tongues in the pulpit. I tried my best to speak French. And I hope y'all remember that lesson, that when the devil comes and puts you on the spot, don't try to use human reasoning to argue with him. But just point him to the book, tell him what God Almighty has already said. Amen. Gerald Sr., he's taking notes. He'll probably take and preach it somewhere out of state. Amen. But that'd be all right. Amen. I'm picking on him. Listen. But look, we want to try to help you this morning. We got something on the heart I hope will be a help, a blessing to you. Is everybody all right so far? Amen. Is everybody awake? Amen. All right. Take your Bible, if you would, this morning and turn over to the book of Titus. The book of Titus, Titus and chapter 2, I believe is where we'll start this morning. Titus chapter 2, when you find your place, say amen, so I know you're with me. Amen. Titus chapter 2, I want to use a couple passages this morning by way of introduction. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." I want you to look over with me on the next page in Titus chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Remember the thought that we just read in chapter 2 and verse 11 where it says again, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Continue the thought in verse 3. The Bible says, "For we ourselves also were sometime foolish." Can you say amen right there? I can too. "Disobedient." Can you say amen right there? "Deceived. Serving divers lusts and pleasures." That was me. Was that you? living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Glory be to God for verse 4. The Bible says, but. That word but means however. It means there's a change of course, a change of thought. But after that, the Bible says, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Having read those verses this morning, I want to tell you that I want to preach to you for the next few minutes on this simple thought. Grace available. Grace available. Now I want to explain to you some things this morning about grace. I want to say to you that this message is unusual, but as I always tell you, that won't surprise any of y'all because I'm a little different. Can you say amen right there? I want to say to you this morning that I want to preach on that thought, grace available. I want to tell you where this message came from. My family and I were headed down the road or up the road, one or the other, as we do quite often traveling and preaching. And as y'all know, most of the time my wife drives so that I can study or whatever. And so she's my, I guess you'd say, pilot. And we were headed down the road at a high rate of speed. Can you say amen? I mean, I call it flying in low when we come into town because she puts the pedal to the metal. And I want you to know that I was looking out the window and everything was going by at a blur and mostly I just saw colors. But then something caught my eye. It was a billboard. Now listen, it was interesting because there was absolutely nothing on the billboard itself. It was completely blank. But at the bottom, down there on the placard up under the billboard itself, it had two words and only two words. Those two words were grace available. I want you to know this morning that grace is available. I want you to know that as I saw that billboard, I began to think about the fact that grace is in fact available unto mankind. So for just a few minutes, I want to preach to you on that subject, grace available. Now, I want to go ahead and let you know that if my wife had been driving slower, there'd probably be two or three more points on this message. So when I get finished this morning in a reasonable amount of time, you can shake her hand and thank her for driving at a high rate of speed. But I want to say this morning about that thing of grace being available. When I saw that billboard in great big boxcar letters up under that billboard on that placard, it said grace in great big boxcar letters, G-R-A-C-E. And then it said available. I wondered what that was all about. I thought it was unusual. And I Googled it like most of you would do. And I found out that those billboards are put up by a company called Grace Outdoor Advertising. I don't know if you've ever seen one, but I looked them up and I found out they're a family-owned business based in Columbia, South Carolina. They have billboards all over Columbia, Greenville, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Charleston, South Carolina. And their motto, their idea for what it is they're trying to do is delivering your message to your audience using traditional and digital billboards. You say, Brother Russell, what's all that got to do with these passages of Scripture that we read? I want you to understand that I'm talking this morning about the fact that grace is available. Now let me say a few things about grace and then we'll draw some parallels between that billboard on the side of the road and the grace of God and how it's available to you and I. But I want to first of all tell you, I want to try to define grace. Many people have tried to define grace over the years and you've probably heard many definitions. Let me say first of all that grace is amazing. Can you say amen right there? But let me say when we look at this subject of grace, as I said that there are many definitions that people have come up with to try to explain it. Somebody said much smarter than me that grace was God's riches at Christ's expense, and I say amen right there. Somebody else said that grace was God's righteous assistance Christ extends, and I say amen to that definition as well. But I want you to know that I believe the greatest definition that we could ever find is found in one of our introductory verses in Titus chapter 3 and verse 4 where the Bible says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior behavior toward man appeared. Let me read that again for emphasis. I believe the greatest definition of grace we could ever find is this: the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Can I say this morning, thank God for grace? Now listen, I want to say this. I'm preaching this morning, as I've already told you, on the subject of grace available. I told you that I saw that billboard going down the highway at a high rate of speed, and it began to jog some thoughts in my mind. And I want to speak to you just a few minutes on that subject, grace available. Are you still with me? Say amen. Now, I want you to understand that grace could also be defined as God's help in time of need. And we all need God's help. Can we say amen right there? But listen, I want to say first of all that as I passed that billboard, I realized that there was a time when grace appeared. Now let me explain this. I understand that the grace of God was available in the Old Testament. Amen? Because the Bible said in Genesis 6:8 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But I want you to know that in the history of this world, there was a time when grace itself appeared. I mean to say that there was a time in history where grace put on a face. Let me explain what I'm talking about. My first point this morning is grace appearing. Remember, my title is Grace Available. But I said my first point is grace appearing. Now, we've looked at a couple of these verses, but I want to look at them again. Go back with me to Titus 2 and verse 11. I'm talking about grace appearing. As we were heading down the highway, speeding like a bullet down the road, I looked at my peripheral vision and I noticed that billboard, and it said grace available, and it jogged that thought to me that in order for grace to be available, grace first had to appear. I'm talking about Jesus Christ coming this morning. Grace appeared is His coming. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Titus 2:11 again. Are you there with me? Say amen. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Talking about grace appearing, I said grace put on a face. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 4, which we've already read, I'll read it to you again. The Bible says, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." I want to show you another passage of Scripture. Go with me, if you would, over to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26, just a few pages over. Hebrews 9 verse 26. Y'all still with me? Say amen. Hebrews 9:26. "For then must He," are you there? The Bible says, "For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." You say, "Brother Russell, what's your point?" I want you to see the end of that verse where it says, "But now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." Galatians 4:4 tells us that when the fullness of time was come, that God Almighty sent His Son in the flesh to die for mankind's sin. You say, "Brother Russell, what's your point?" I'm talking about grace available, but I want you to see, first of all, grace appearing. I said there was a time in history where grace itself put on a face. Go, if you would, to John, the Gospel of John in chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1, when you find your place, say amen, so I know you're with me. John, chapter 1. Familiar passage of Scripture, but I want you to see it with your own eyes. John, chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1, are you there? The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word," that's a capital W, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Y'all know who that is? Say it out loud with me. It's Jesus. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Then the Bible tells us about a man named John the Baptist, who was the forerunner who came to be a witness of that light. The Bible explains that he was not that light, but he came to bear witness of that light. Listen, then we follow on down and we find out in verse 11 that he, Jesus Christ, came into his own, and his own received him not. Listen, but verse 12 is good news. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." I want you to keep reading with me, though, and I want you to see grace appearing. I'm talking about his coming, when grace, Jesus Christ, when God put on a face. The Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." I want you to continue down. Look with me in verse 17. The Bible says, "For the law was given by Moses." Watch this. "But grace and truth came by" who? Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what's your point this morning? I'm trying to get you to see. When I saw that billboard that said grace available, I rejoiced in my heart that grace was available. But I thought about it in my mind. I realized that the story begins when grace appeared. I'm talking about Christ coming, grace put on a face. Now I want you to see this, to continue the thought and illustrate it a little further. Go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 with me. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Y'all know me, I wind up slow, but I promise we're going somewhere if you stay with me. Hebrews chapter 1, when you find your place, say amen, so I know you're with me. Hebrews chapter 1. I want to show you this. Let's begin reading in verse 1 to get the context. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. I want you to notice verse 3. I'm talking this morning about grace appearing. I'm talking about His coming when Christ came and grace put on a face. It says in verse 3, about Jesus, who being the brightness of His glory. Talking about that Jesus was the brightness of God's glory. Watch this. And the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. I want you to focus on one portion of that verse where it says about Jesus that He was the brightness of His glory. But then it says, and the express image of His person. I'm talking about, listen, grace appearing. I said there was a time when grace put on a face. God Almighty sent His Son in a robe of flesh, God incarnate, so that we could see what grace looked like. I'm telling you, there was a time when grace appeared. Now watch, I want you to notice that the Bible says in this verse that He was the express image of His person. Listen, God Almighty knows how the human mind works, and He realizes that you and I sometimes need visual aids. Can you say amen right there? And when God Almighty wanted to illustrate His grace, when He wanted to extend His grace to mankind, listen, He had grace put on a face. I'm trying to say that Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was the express image of God's person. I studied that out and I found out that it means an exact copy. It means that He is a perfect replica. It's the same idea as if I were to take a signet ring and press it into wax, and that ring leaves an exact impression in that malleable substance. I'm trying to say to you that there was a time grace is available because grace appeared. I'm talking about Christ coming. Are you still with me? Say amen. I want you to get this. I want you to see something. I told you when I passed that billboard at a high rate of speed. I believe that my wife sometimes gets the highway sign and the speed limit sign mixed up. We were on 85 and I think she's doing 85. Amen? Y'all probably heard this joke, but if you have, just go ahead and listen and laugh anyway and make me feel good. But y'all know about the elderly ladies that were headed down the road. And there was two in the back seat and one was driving. A state patrolman pulled them over. And she was amazed that he pulled her over. When he got up to the car, he said, ma'am, do you know why I pulled you over? She said, no, I don't. He said, ma'am, I clocked you at 85 miles an hour. And she said, well, that's what the sign said. He said, ma'am, you don't understand. That's the highway sign. You on Highway 85. He shined his flashlight in the back seat. And the two passengers were petrified. Their eyes were wide open, mouth hanging open. And it looked like they were in a daze and they were white as a sheet. He said, what's wrong with these two ladies back here? And one of them spoke up. They said, we just got off Highway 119. So listen, I'm trying to say, listen, that my wife sometimes gets the signs confused and we're going so fast that all I saw in a blur as it passed by in my peripheral vision was those two words, grace available. And I'm trying to tell you, I realized that for grace to be available, there had to be a time when grace appeared unto mankind. Now remember the definition. Grace is the kindness and love of God our Savior toward mankind. I'm glad this morning, listen, that grace appeared in the form of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that the Word took on flesh and became a man so that you and I could comprehend the love and kindness of God our Savior. So I'm saying this morning that grace appeared. Now, I want you to notice something else. I noticed that grace appeared. That's His coming. But then I want you to see something else. I want you to notice grace advertised, and that's His cross. I want you to notice grace advertised, and that's His cross. You see, when I passed that billboard, I didn't really realize what I was looking at until I got a little farther down the road. I realized that what they were saying on that placard at the bottom of that empty billboard was that this billboard is owned by a company called Grace, and they let you know that it is available. Maybe y'all didn't hear what I said. Let me say that again. I said the billboard is owned by a company called Grace, and that Grace was letting you know that it is available in time of need. Now, I want you to get this. I said Grace appeared. That's His coming. That's when God Almighty put on flesh. Grace put on a face. But listen, I want you to see now Grace advertising. That's His cross. I noticed some parallels between that billboard and our Savior, and I want you to get them this morning. Don't miss them. I'm talking about Grace advertised. I said when God Almighty got ready for His grace to be advertised, He hung grace itself in the form of Jesus Christ, His Son, on a cross. And I want you to see, first of all, that I noticed some parallels. I noticed that that sign was lifted, and so was our Savior. I said that sign was lifted. Let me explain what I mean. Go with me, if you would, over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Y'all still with me? Say amen. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, I got a glare on my glasses. I can't see what time it is. Y'all pray for me. Oh, there it is. That's why He put the watch down here, all right? John chapter 3, I'm trying not to keep you too long. I'm talking fast as I can go. Listen, John chapter 3, are you there with me? You know the passage of Scripture, how there's a man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, who comes to Jesus by night. And he asks some questions about how a man can be saved. Because Jesus told him a man must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. But I want you to think about verse 16. We know what it says. Y'all say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But I want you to back up and I want you to see what precedes it, those verses right before it. I want you to see it in verse 14 as He is explaining about eternal salvation. Jesus Himself is drawing a parallel between Himself and something in the Old Testament. He said to Nicodemus, and as, or in the same way, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. You say, preacher, what's your point? I said, grace was advertised. It was advertised on the cross when Jesus Christ hung there and died. I said that that sign was lifted, and I realized something. For sake of time, I'll tell you the story. But in Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, I find that God's people were in the wilderness. They've been brought out of the bondage of Egypt with a high hand. Moses was leading the people, and as we sometimes do after we've been set free, they begin to murmur and complain about how God's been providing for them. Listen, they weren't satisfied, and God sent fiery serpents among them. Those fiery serpents began to bite them, and the people began to die. The people cried out to Moses and said, help us. We've offended our holy God. Would you intercede for us, and would you help us? We need God to have mercy. These snakes are killing us. Can I say to you this morning, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, right now as you're sitting in front of me, you're dying from snake bite. There ain't a thing you can do except for what I'm about to explain to you right now. I want you to understand, I said that sign was lifted up. It was lifted up beside the road, and it was lifted up because you can see it better. Can you say amen? I mean, listen, that's real deep theology right there. But I found out they don't put those billboards on the side of the road, down on the ground. They prop them up. They put them on a scaffold so that everybody that passes by can see them. Can I say to you, I'm talking this morning about grace being advertised on the cross. I said they took our Savior, and I want to tell you the rest of the story. I'm saying to you that old Moses was told by God Almighty. He said, I want you to take some brass, and I want you to make a brazen serpent. I want you to put it on a pole, and I want you to hold it up between heaven and earth, and I want you to walk through the camp. And He said, listen, if the people will look, they can live. Now let me explain to you. The very thing that was killing them saved them. You say, what do you mean? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that He who knew no sin became sin for us. Jesus Christ was lifted up between heaven and earth so that He might draw all men. And He says to you and to me this morning, if you look, you can live. The Bible says that those that saw that brazen serpent lifted up on a pole and believed, they were healed miraculously just like that. I can't explain it, but I can testify to you this morning. If you look on Him while He's lifted up and you believe, you can live. So I'm saying to you this morning that grace was advertised on the cross. I noticed that sign was lifted up so you could see. see it. Our Savior was lifted up as well between heaven and earth. And if you look, you can live. I noticed something else. Not only did I notice that sign was lifted, I noticed something about the location. Now, I want you to look with me, if you would. I believe it's in John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John chapter 19, I believe it's verse 19 is where we want to go. When you find your place, say amen, so I know you're with me. Amen. Y'all tired yet? John 19, I want you to see this. I'll give you the context. Now, Jesus has been placed upon the cross. And I said, listen, I said, I want you to notice that there's some parallels between the sign and our Savior. I said the sign was lifted. So was our Savior. But I want you to notice now the location. I want you to see here what it says. It says in verse 19, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Watch this. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Hold your place there because we're coming back. I want you to notice a parallel between that sign and our Savior. I want you to see, that the location was important. Listen, let me ask you a dumb question. If you had a message you want to get out to people on a billboard, would you put it beside an old two-lane country road, or would you put it beside the main highway, the interstate? The interstate, amen? Somebody I know, they call it the High 85. Amen. I think that's a good name for it. But listen, what I'm trying to tell you is, listen, they placed that sign beside the main highway because it's a high traffic area. The Bible tells me that when God Almighty had grace advertised on the cross, that He had Him placed nigh into the city so that multitudes could see Him hanging there between heaven and earth. I'm trying to say, listen, when God Almighty got ready to advertise grace, He hung Him on the cross. He lifted Him between heaven and earth, and the location was important. And listen, He placed the Son of God, grace with a face, on that cross, and He placed Him beside the broad road that leads to destruction, according to Matthew chapter 7. I don't know about you, but I remember that was the road that I was on. Listen, I know that I was going as hard as I could go, as fast as I could go, straight into the pits of hell. And listen, one day I came along, and I had sense enough to look up, and now I can live. I'm saying, listen, I want you to notice when grace is advertised on the cross, that our Savior, like that sign, was lifted. And then I want you to notice the location. It was beside the broad road, but I want you to get this. Look back in John 19, verse 19. The Bible says, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, watch this, y'all got big letters for the rest of that verse. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Y'all know how they said in another gospel, hey, don't call Him the King of the Jews. Say He said He was the King of the Jews. Pilate said, what I've written, I ain't going to change it. Listen, I'm saying to you, I want you to notice something. Not only was that sign like our Savior lifted, not only was the location important, but I want you to notice the letters that were on the sign. I told you that on that sign there was absolutely nothing on the billboard itself. But it was on a scaffolding, and at the bottom of that scaffold it said Grace, and then it said Available. I explained to you that was the name of the company, Grace Outdoor Advertising, and they're letting us know that Grace, that billboard is available. But can I say to you, listen, that God Almighty, when He hung Grace with a face on the cross to advertise grace to you and I, He had letters placed over top His head by Pilate, that Roman puppet governor. He had him write exactly what God Almighty, before time ever began, wanted written down. And He wouldn't change it. He left it. And here's what it said. It said, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. I'm trying to say to you this morning that when grace was advertised on the cross, that there was He was lifted up. And listen, the location was beside the broad road. But listen, there were letters on that sign that identified exactly what it was and what it was for. So we've seen grace appearing. That's His coming. We've seen grace advertised, that's His cross. But let me say, I want you to notice, next of all, grace available. Grace available. You say, I thought that was the title of your message. Well, it is. It's also my third point. I want to give you this. Listen, I want to say to you and to me real simply this morning that grace has appeared. That was Christ coming. Grace has been advertised on the cross of Calvary. That's His cross. And then I want you to notice that grace is available. Listen, that's God's compassion. God's compassion. Y'all remember the definition? Grace is the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man. Thank God it has appeared. Thank God it's been advertised, but I'm glad that it's available. Can I say this morning? Listen, if you look at the word available, you'll notice that it's a compound word. Y'all ever thought about that? I never have either. Listen, it's two words, isn't it, Miss Kelly? When I said that, she looked at me sideways. You got Avail and you got Able. That's two words, ain't it? I mean, I went to Orange County School in North Carolina. They didn't teach me much, but I learned a couple things. All right? Available. Watch this. It means that you are able to avail yourself of it. What those people were saying to you or to me when we went by is that you are able to avail yourself of this sign if you need it. Now, I want you to get the parallel. The word available, when it applies to the grace of God, means that you and I are able to avail ourselves of it. What does it mean to avail yourself of something? It means to use it, to put it to use personally for yourself. Listen, I want to say to you that I'm glad that grace appeared. I'm glad it was advertised, but I'm most happy to report this morning that grace is available for you and for me. You see, what if grace had appeared? What if grace had been advertised, but yet grace was not available to the common man, woman, boy, and girl? Thank God that grace is available. We can avail ourselves of it. Let me give you scripture for that. Go with me, if you would, over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I ain't got much longer to go. Y'all stay with me. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to look with me, if you would, in about verse 14. We'll pick up there. I said grace is available. We can avail ourselves of it. We can put it into practice, into use in our own lives. It's available to you and me. Listen, Hebrews 4:16. We'll start in verse 14. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Watch verse 15. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Praise God for that. But watch this. The Bible says in verse 16, "Let us therefore." That means y'all know the rule of Bible study. When you see therefore, you back up and see what it's there for. Referring to what they just said about our high priest Jesus and the fact that he's sinless. The Bible says, it's explaining to us that he's our go-between. He's our intercessor. He's our high priest, which gives us access to the throne of grace. It says, "Because of that, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy." Watch this, "and find grace to help in time of need." I said grace has appeared. That's when he came. I said grace was advertised. That was his cross. But I said grace is available. That's the compassion of Almighty God. Now, let me explain to you exactly what I mean about how grace is available. I want to say to you that one of the definitions I gave you is grace is God's help in time of need. I don't know about you, but I need God's help, don't you? Listen, a man that thinks he don't need God's help is a fool. A man who thinks he doesn't need God's help, who thinks he's a self-made man, he doesn't know the reality of human life. I mean to say that the blood that flows through our veins is doing so because God Almighty has been gracious to us. The air that we draw into our lungs belongs to Him, and we exist because of His grace. I'm saying to you this morning that we all need grace. Grace is available. And let me explain to you in what context grace is available. Can I say, first of all, that there is grace for saving. There's grace for saving. Now, I know this Sunday morning, I know we're in an independent Baptist King James Bible church, and listen, a lot of times people look at you like, why in the world would you preach a salvation point in a message? Hey, don't you know you're preaching to the choir? I've told you this before. I've seen preachers get saved. I've seen preachers' wives get saved. You're looking at one right there. She came with me. I've seen preachers' kids get saved. I've seen deacons. I've seen deacons' wives, piano players, organ players, Sunday school teachers. I've seen them all get saved by the grace of God when they saw their need. Listen, so this morning I'm going to preach this point to you, and I'm saying to you that there is grace for saving. Amen. See, grace is available for you. Listen, a whole lot of people got this thing confused. They think that their salvation is somehow tied up in what they have done or what they are doing. Let me say to you, it has not one thing to do with what you and I have done, but it has to do with what He has already done on the cross of Calvary. Listen, I'm saying to you, grace appeared, grace put on a face, and then He died on the cross. God Almighty advertised that grace by putting His darling Son on the cross of Calvary. Listen, Ephesians 2:8-9, you know it. But it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I want you to put that definition of grace that comes from Titus in that verse with me. I want you to listen to how it would read. When we're talking about grace, we could say, for by the kindness and love of God our Savior toward mankind are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Try and say to you this morning that I'm glad to report that grace is available. There's grace for saving. Listen, if you're sitting here this morning and you're playing the church game and you know what to say and when to say it, I want to say to you that does not equal salvation. Listen, it doesn't matter if you know every song in the book. It doesn't matter if you can quote the whole Psalm 119. That don't make you saved. Listen, getting in the oven don't make you a biscuit. Getting into the garage don't make you a car. I'm trying to say this morning the only way you get saved is by trusting the grace of God Almighty. I'm saying grace is available this morning. There's grace for saving. There's even grace for saving you. Amen. You say, why would you say it that way, preacher? Listen, I remember the ditch that God got me out of. David said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and I put a new song in my mouth, even praising to our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I'm saying to you, listen, it takes grace to pull somebody out of a ditch of degradation and depravity. But I want to say to you, it takes grace to reach down on a church pew and show a lost church member that they need God. And I'm saying this morning, grace is available for you as well. You say, preacher, are you shooting at somebody in particular this morning? You got somebody singled out that you think's lost? No, sir, no, ma'am. I'd never do that. That's the Holy Ghost of God's job. I'm saying to you, grace is available. There's grace for saving. But let me give you this. I'll move on. I said I'm going to move on. Y'all say amen right there. Listen, not only is there grace available, there's grace for saving. There's grace for straying. Grace for straying. Now, let me be misunderstood. Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. I'm not talking about living a licentious lifestyle, living like the world, living a carnal, defeated existence. I'm not saying that God looks the other way at that. That's not what I mean at all. But I want to say to you that when you and I stray from the will of God, there is grace for straying. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for that verse. I've told you many times, if it was not in the Bible, I'd have quit a long time ago. I want to say to you, sometimes I do more stumbling than I do standing. I want to say to you, sometimes I end up failing more than I follow Christ. But I'm trying to say to you that there's grace for straying. Can I say this morning, listen, that the prodigal son was a son of the father, but he found himself in the far country. I want to say to you though that one day in the hog pen the Bible said that he came to himself. And when he came to himself, the Bible says, that he said to himself, I got a daddy who loves me. I got a father who has more than enough for me and what I need. I don't know how in the world I got where I am, but I'm coming to my senses and I'm heading home. Amen. Can I say to you, maybe some of you are saved, but you're straying. You're in the far country and you ain't doing right and you know it. Listen, I believe it was Asaph said he was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation. Y'all know what that means? You can sit on a church pew, you can stand in a pulpit and be in the far country in your heart. So I'm saying this morning there's grace for straying. Listen, I'm trying to say to you, I want you to remember this. The son was in the far country. He was feeding hogs, and that's a bad thing for a Jewish boy to have to do. Listen, the Bible says he would faint and filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. But when he came to himself, listen, I want you to know that all the way home he was rehearsing how he was going to apologize to his daddy and say, listen, I know I'm no longer a son. I don't deserve it. I just want to be a servant. And listen, I want you to know he talked about it with himself all the way home. But I want you to know while he was talking and while he was walking that the father, he was watching the path, and the whole time he'd been feeding the calf. I want you to know that father was looking for his boy to come home. Amen. I usually don't hammer down this point, but I want to say something to you this morning. There's grace for straying. Amen. So let me move on. I also found that the Bible teaches us this truth. There's grace for sorrow. Y'all ever dealt with sorrow? The Bible says that man that is born a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Is that right? I mean, listen, if we were to trade sad stories this morning, hey, we all got one. Can you say amen? I mean, the human existence is sometimes sorrowful, but I want to say to you there's grace for sorrow. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cared for you. There's that word all again. There's not a sorrow that you can't cast upon Him. His shoulders are big enough to bear it. Listen, Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you what? Rest." So I'm saying there's grace for sorrow this morning. I don't know what you're dealing with, but God does. And there's grace available for sorrow. Listen, I want you to know there's grace for solitude. You ever felt like you're all by yourself? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. There's times when you're in a crowd and you still feel like you're all by yourself. Can you say amen? Can I say to you, listen, there's grace for solitude. I want to remind you, for sake of time, we won't turn there and read, but in 1 Kings chapter 19, you find that Elijah, the prophet of God, he's defeated 400 prophets and then 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. He's called down literal fire from heaven, and he showed out for God. And then, listen, he runs from one long-tongued woman named Jezebel, who put a hit out on his head. He finds himself out in the wilderness all alone. We find that he lays down up under a juniper tree. And he says to God Almighty, "Hey, I'd be better off if you just let me die." But listen, I want to say something to you. God was not finished with him. And God is not finished with you. He laid down up under the juniper bush and went to sleep, thanking God didn't care a thing about him. But God sent an angel by with a cruise of water and an angel food cake and fed him, I believe it was, 2 times and said, "Listen, the journey is too great for you. You need to rest and you need to eat." Can I say this morning, I'm going to just hit this as I go by. That's why God Almighty has children of God come to the house of God to hear from the Word of God, from the man of God. Because listen, the journey is too great for you and it's too great for me. I'm saying to you this morning, listen, that God knew exactly where Elijah was. God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you need. I'm saying there's grace for solitude. In the midst of all that, the Bible said that there was an earthquake and then there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And then it says this, after the fire was a still small voice. Thank God for that still small voice. There have been times in my life where, because of the clamor of the problems I was facing, because of the attacks of the enemy, I couldn't see straight and I couldn't get my bearings one way or the other. But when I lay my head down at night on that pillow and I felt like nobody in this world cared, listen, there was a still small voice that spurred me on and said, "I am here and I'll never leave you." Let me remind you, there's grace for solitude. Jesus said, well, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 says, "Let your conversation," that means your lifestyle, "be without covetousness." Don't worry about those things you don't have that everybody else has. Listen, it says, "And be content with such things as you have." Now, the verse doesn't stop there. God's not just telling us, hey, you need to quit wanting stuff that's not yours and you need to be happy with what you got. Listen, the rest of the verse is the key. He said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for or because He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Amen. He, none other than Jesus Christ, grace that put on a face. Now watch this. I want to explain to you, I used to think this verse said the same thing twice. It says, Jesus said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." He's not repeating Himself. It means two different things entirely. He said that I will, first of all, never not be here. I will never leave thee. I will never not be here. I mean with you. All right. Now physically we know He ascended unto the Father and sent the Holy Ghost, but I want you to get the point. He said, "I'll never leave thee." First of all, that means He'll never not be here with you. But watch, then He said, "nor forsake thee." He said, "I'll never not help you." Yeah. Give you an illustration. I was in school. In high school, and y'all won't believe this, I know it'd be hard for you to believe, but my mouth got me in trouble. I mean, listen, my mouth wrote a check that my hind end couldn't cash. Y'all know what I'm saying? And I had talked, I had this penchant for finding the biggest, meanest guy at school and making him mad, and I did that. And so he told me exactly what he was going to do to me, wasn't none of it nice. And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what," I said, "we'll meet after school, I reckon's what we'll do." And my buddy said, you always have one that says this. He said, "Hey, man, I got your back." He said, I'm gonna be right there with you. He said, "Oh, we'll go toe-to-toe, man. I'll back you up." So y'all know what happened. We met up. We squared off, man. I mean, it looked like a Clint Eastwood movie. You know what I mean? We stood there, and I squinted at him. He squinted at me. And then the lick started flying. Guess what? I looked around. I said, "Well, my buddy's still here." But he wasn't helping me. And then I turned around. Guess what? He wasn't even there. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll never not be here and I'll never not help you. So I'm saying there's grace for solitude. I know what y'all are thinking. You're saying, well, how many more of them things do you got? Well, I got one more. Let me give you this. I also found that grace is available. There's grace that is sufficient. See, this sufficient is an old English word. We use it now and it means, well, it meets the basic criteria. That's not what this word means in this context. It means that whatever you need, grace will supply. Listen, grace that is sufficient, and grace is sufficient. Y'all know the story in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7. How the great apostle Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. God allowed Satan to give him something in his life that hindered him in his walk with Christ. But listen, the Bible said he prayed 3 times that God would remove it. And God didn't. Jesus spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Listen, I'm trying to say to you that there is grace that is sufficient. Can I say with all transparent honesty that I have sat right where you are and heard other men preach that to me, and there were times in my life where I could not believe it for myself. Now, I'm not a heretic. Now, don't church me, okay? You ain't my pastor anyway. But listen, I'm saying to you that there's times in life where it's hard to walk by faith and not by sight. There are times when it's hard to believe that grace will be and is sufficient. But I'm telling you, on the other side of the valley that I was in, that grace is sufficient. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Listen, sometimes God will allow us to be weak so that we will learn to lean on His strength. So there's grace. There's grace for saving. There's grace for straying. There's grace for sorrow. There's grace for solitude. And there's grace that is sufficient. And you say, preacher, what's your point? Remember the billboard I told you about? I told you how we went by at a high rate of speed, and I noticed that billboard, and I noticed how the framework of it, all it said was grace available, and I told you grace was the name of the company, and it was letting you know that it was available. Well, listen, I forgot to tell you this. There was also a phone number at the bottom of that sign. The sign itself was empty, but under grace available, there was a phone number. Y'all know why that was there? It was so that you could call if you needed it. Y'all know God put His phone number in the Bible. Yeah. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You need grace this morning. Listen, if you'll call, you can get it. Now there's one last point that I have. You say amen to old me right there. But I want to close the message this way. Everybody still awake, say amen. All right, if you ain't, I'll pray for you. But listen, I want to tell you that as I began working on this message, there was something about it that just didn't sit right with me. I said, God, there's one thing I just can't fit into this whole thought here about grace available. I said, there's nothing on that billboard. Nothing. It's completely blank. I said, how does that fit? How does that work with this thought I got? I said, help me understand it. We went a little farther down the road, and it came to me. My last point is grace applied. Grace applied. Now, I almost called this point grace appropriated. But that's the wrong word. Because I found out that when you appropriate something, what you do is you take it and use it without the owner's permission. It's kind of like when white folks, we put on a headband with feathers sticking out up and go around like this. What we're doing is we're appropriating a culture that's not ours. So grace appropriated won't work here because, listen, the grace of God is available to us. We can avail ourselves of it. God has given us permission to avail ourselves, to use His grace, put it into practice in our lives. So here's the correct word, grace applied. Let me explain my last point. I asked God, as I told you, how in the world is that blank billboard? I don't see anything there. What can I preach off that? And it hit me like a ton of bricks. Grace applied leads to a clean slate. You see, that billboard was empty. It was empty, but it was full of potential. See, when grace is applied to your life, then you get to write your own story. What I mean to say is when God saved you and me, our slate was wiped clean. Our sin was gone. Listen, some songs say that it's under the blood. And I'm not going to argue with Brother Leonard Fletcher about that. God bless him. I love him. He wrote that song. But can I say to you that that's Old Testament economy? David said, blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Listen, covered is not the same as gone. If you're saved by the grace of God, your sin is gone. Let me explain what I'm talking about. Grace applied leads to a clean slate. Y'all ever swept the floor, maybe for your grandma? And y'all figured out what I did, that you didn't really have to get it up with the dustpan. You could pull the corner of the rug up and sweep it under there. And for about 3 or 4 weeks, she ain't going to notice. But when it gets up about high like an anthill, she's going to trip over it. You know why she trip over it? Because it's still there. It ain't gone. It's just covered. Your sin and mine, according to the Word of God, by the grace of God, is not covered. It is gone. I'm trying to tell you this morning, listen, that grace applied leads to a clean slate. I'm trying to say this morning, if you've been saved by the grace of God, that God gave you a clean slate. That billboard was empty to illustrate what God Almighty can do through His grace. Now listen, here's the last thought. The last thought is, if you're sitting here saved this morning and you failed God, how many of you failed God since you got saved? I won't make you raise your hand. I'd have to raise mine too. But thank God that grace applied cleans the slate. So this morning I tried to preach to you, give you an object lesson, paint you a picture of grace. I said that the Bible says that grace is the kindness and love of God our Savior toward mankind. I'm saying to you that I'm glad that grace appeared in His coming. I'm glad that grace was advertised on the cross. I'm glad that grace is available. That's God's compassion. But most of all this morning, I'm thankful for grace applied. Now, sometimes I'm at a loss for how to close a service out. Pastor, would it be all right with you if I close out this morning? If you would stand to your feet for just a minute. Y'all know why we do that, don't you? We do that to make it easier for you to get out and do business with God, if God speaks to your heart. Let me say this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Let me say that there may be one here this morning that needs grace for saving. Can I say to you that the grace of God has appeared to all men and it's available to you. Anybody here this morning say, preacher, the Spirit of God's dealt with my heart and I want to be saved. Anybody at all? I'll give you just a minute. You might say, well, preacher, if I do that, you're going to embarrass me. I'd never do that. I just want to pray for you. If you'd like to be introduced to the Savior this morning, you don't know for sure you're saved, raise your hand. And we'll lead you to the Lord before this service is over. All right, then, for the rest of us that are here that have experienced the grace of God, maybe this morning you need grace for straying. Maybe you need grace for sorrow. Maybe you're carrying a heavy burden. Maybe you need grace for solitude. Maybe you're feeling all by yourself. You need to avail yourself of the grace of God this morning. I want to encourage you to listen to that still, small voice. God loves you. He knows where you are and He knows what you need. And then, this morning, listen, I want you to know grace is sufficient. I don't know what your burdens are. I don't know your sorrows and your cares, but God does. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Grace is sufficient. Is there one here this morning and say, preacher, I'm not coming to the altar. If I get down there, I'm afraid I won't get back up. But I got a burden. I got something that I want you to pray about just between you and I. Nobody looking. Anybody at all? By raised hand, say, preacher, pray for me. I see that hand. I see that. Thank you for your honesty. I see that hand as well. I see that hand. Listen, if we get honest with God, God will help us. As this one's coming to the altar's open for you. Listen, we won't have a hymn of invitation this morning. We'll just go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Listen, if God's spoken to you, the altar's open for you. Grace is available. Heavenly Father, Lord, as these have come to pray this morning, God, and these have raised their hands, You know their needs, God. You know the burdens that they bear. You know their sorrows and their cares. And God, I've tried to preach to them this morning and show them how grace put on a face and how grace is available to all men. And God, thank You so much for the kindness and love of God our Savior to mankind. God, I pray for each one here. I pray, God, that they would leave here knowing that there's a God who cares for and loves them. Lord, if there be one here this morning who does not know You as personal Savior or more than one, may the Holy Ghost of God make it very apparent and real in their heart that they need to be saved before it's eternally too late. I pray, God, You wouldn't let them rest till they make it right. God, this morning for your children that are here, Lord, would you help them? Would you help them today to meditate on the grace of God? Thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and all you've done for us. Thank you that you hear and answer prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Preacher, you got anything before we dismissed? All right.
While you're standing, if Brother Brent would come on up this morning, we're going to pick up a little offer for Brother Russell and his family. Thank the Lord for the good message. Thank the Lord for them coming and being here, willing to be here today. And I pray the Lord would just lay on the heart to give as he speaks to you this morning. I know the Lord will use it to supply and meet their needs. Brother Brent, would you go ahead and pray for them?
Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your grace. Thank you, Father, for the fact that it is available to us. Help us, Father, with those things we're struggling with in our lives.